Tell us all about Vision.
So Vision is a children's mental health charity. We're based in our head office in Congleton and also in our office over in Crewe. And we support children, young people and their families with their mental health and wellbeing. The ones that wish to kind of build that resilience, and we want to help them lead happy and fulfilling futures. They'll come to us with many issues such as anxiety, stress, low mood, anger, maybe they're self-harming, maybe they're having thoughts of suicide. And that can be for various reasons, but all of those things will be impacting on their day-to-day life, maybe impacting on their relationships with friends and family, maybe impacting on them going to school and their education. So we offer kind of early intervention support. We want to try and help them get to the core of their issues. And we offer counselling, we offer mentoring, group therapy, we do kind of art therapy and various other wellbeing groups. Yeah, it's all free of charge, but we wouldn't be able to do that if it wasn't for the generosity of our supporters, make donations and fundraise for the charity.
How long's Vision been going, and have you always been in this building?
So Vision was set up back in 1994 off the back of a really sad incident where a local young lady called Lucy took her own life. The family, her mum Elizabeth, realised that there wasn't any support for mental health for young people in the area, and she went about setting up the charity, and within 6 months Vision was developed. In that first year, Vision saw 40 young people. Last year, we saw 1,600. The local people of Congleton and surrounding Cheshire really got behind Vision, so we've been able to develop and move out across Cheshire East. So we now have a base in Crewe as well. So we've got the venue here at Fellowship House. I think we started out on West Street in Congleton, so we have moved. I'm not quite sure how long we've been in this building. But yeah, we've recently moved to our own premises in Crewe. We work in schools as well as at our bases. So it might be that young people, there's a barrier with kind of getting to our venues. So transport might not be an option. Parents coming out of work might not be an option. So to be able to provide that counselling in school where the children are already there is better for some people. But some people like to be seen at one of our bases away from the friends at school. So we're as flexible as we can be and try to fit with what the child needs. So
effectively it's individual need, isn't it? You
absolutely
assess what is needed and then act accordingly. So
yeah, absolutely.
And I was going to ask, I mean, I have asked this a lot about with a lot of charities, because obviously COVID was such a big deal and was a big issue for a lot of people. How has it affected Vision and the young people who come?
So with Vision, all parents and young people can self-refer. They don't need to go via a GP. They can come directly, they can pick up the phone to us, and within 10 days they have an appointment. We call it an open access appointment, and it's where we sit and we establish what kind of support will be best for that young person, whether they want counselling, whether they'd rather do something in a group therapy session. Pre-COVID, we would see a lot of children around the age of 14 and 15. That age has dropped. We're having a lot more children coming in at 12 years old. We also do something called a cause for concern. So if a young person is displaying anything that we see as a risk to them, so that could be that they're self-harming, they may be having thoughts of suicide, maybe they're being abused, bullied, could be that they're misusing substances, anything like that where we feel that we need to involve our safeguarding team will escalate. We do that with around 30 young people a month pre-COVID. Since COVID, that has gone up to 80 a month, so it's almost trebled. We had, out of the 1,600 young people last year, over 900 of them had a cause for concern.
It's a lot,
so
isn't it?
It is. Yeah. We can see it's impacting. The demand is growing for the service, and we know we're not reaching everybody that we could. We know not everyone is aware of Vision, but things like this interview will hopefully help get the voice out there and let young people and their families know that we're here to help them and they're not alone with how they're feeling. So,
and that's the big deal, isn't it? I mean, with charities, you want to help as many people as you can, but it's always that constant drive of getting your name out known and then, you know, working towards that. So that must mean, you know, you're looking at maybe events and things like that to try and draw public attention.
Yeah.
Is that something that you look at?
Yeah, it is. So I joined the charity after COVID, so it's about 18 months ago. And I knew of Vision, but there was a lot of young people, I've got teenage boys myself, and they weren't aware of Vision, and a lot of their friends didn't know that it existed. So I felt we really needed to get out in the community. So we've been doing a lot of events, kind of local events, things that are already existing that we go along with our famous chocolate tombola. but we get out to Congleton Makers Market. We do that a couple of times a year. We go to a lot of the Pride events, so Congleton, Sandbatch, Crewe Pride. We've done those events, and again, we meet a lot of young people who have maybe struggled with their sexuality, so that's a perfect venue for us to be at, to let people know they can be supported by us. We've got a few Christmas events, lots of Christmas markets going on at this time of year, so we've tried to spread our staff around as many of those as we possibly can, but it's a great time of year for fundraising, and we've had lots of people come forward, and we couldn't continue doing what we do without that support. So,
Katie Lee, turning to you, how long have you been working here?
3 weeks.
Okay, so an absolute expert in everything then.
Not quite, but I'm definitely learning, yeah.
What sort of things have you discovered since you started working here?
Something that I've attended a few of at the moment are parent workshops. So it's really good, all the counselling and the tools that we give the young people here at Vision, ensuring that they can go off on their own and explore life how they want to. But if they haven't got that support at home or at other places, then they're not going to be able to use those tools effectively. So it's really important that we engage with the parents and the schools like we do already, to ensure that they can use the skills and they can support their child as best they can.
I mean, it's a great idea, isn't it? Because, I mean, my interpretation when I arrived was you're just dealing with young people, but you actually include the whole family.
Yeah, definitely. It's really important that the young people feel that they've got the support even after they're not involved with Vision anymore. So it's really important that in their future lives they can still go to their parents because the parents have got the skills to support them as well.
It's important, isn't it, that the parents know what to do and how to help their young people sort of cope and deal. So 3 weeks in, you look like, I mean, I'm not going to say enjoying it because I don't suppose necessarily that's the thing, but you must find it really rewarding.
Yeah, definitely. It's nice to know that as a young person that I can help other young people and making a difference in the community as well.
So just turning to staff, how many do you have?
So we have around 34 counsellors and wellbeing workers. So some are full-time, but the majority are part-time. As you can imagine, it's quite a difficult job sometimes, so they need that downtime for themselves. And then we have a team of kind of business office staff and fundraisers. So there's about six of us that base in this team. So around 40 altogether.
It's an important aspect of fundraising, isn't it? It's always with any charity. I mean, whenever I ask what do charities need, it's usually more funds.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
And how's the process been since COVID for raising funds? And so I imagine during COVID it was nearly impossible to do what you had to do.
It was really difficult, yeah. Like I said before, I joined after COVID. Mm. And the charity had always done really well with trust fundraising. And that's where they can apply to foundations for grants. And that got more and more competitive and has continued to be more and more competitive as other charities are facing closing down, struggling again with funding. The cost of living crisis has had an impact. Community fundraising and events didn't happen during COVID. Community fundraising has been difficult because people haven't got the money to spare like they maybe did beforehand. So it's a difficult time, but for us as a charity, we haven't really done the kind of community and events fundraising before. We may have touched on it many years ago, but more recent years we've focused on the grants side of things. So it's something that I've kind of got a background in, is the community and events fundraising, and really passionate to get that up and running here. We help around 1600 families a year, and from experience I know some of those families will want to give back and support, so we need to give them the opportunity to do that. So we've come up with a few events. We've got two skydives each year. So we're doing one in May and another one in October. And they've been really successful so far. And the last one raised almost £5,000. So that's a lot of money for us to be making from our events. So we've also got a Snowdon at Night trek next August. And we're planning a few other events that we're yet to talk about. It's our 30th year next year, so we've got lots of new and exciting things to try out and hope that our community will get involved in.
I think the fundraising side, I mean, I've always it's always something quite extreme, isn't it? You know, it's like Everest Base Camp, you know, it's going walk along the Great Wall of China.
We can arrange that as well.
Yeah, there's never just like a sponsored sit down, is there? You know, nothing, because I'd be brilliant at that. I would. I could sit there 24 hours.
We'll
no
keep
problem.
You in your chair then
yeah,
at work.
Yes,
for a week.
I can do it. Well, yeah, maybe. The odd toilet break, possibly, and go and get a cup of tea and stuff. But I suppose that's the key, isn't it? Is always sort of reinventing what you're doing with fundraising. You know, you find the things that work really well.
Yeah.
And then you sort of get together as a team and you talk about all the different other things you could do. Some of them seem really weird.
Yeah.
But they can often be the ones that work the best.
They are the ones that work the best. And no matter how many times a fundraising team sits around a table and tries to come up with those ideas, it's never actually the fundraisers or the charities. It's always a member of the public that just does something that takes everybody. There was the Ice Bucket Challenge years ago. Some of those events, they've not come from a team of fundraisers sitting around a table. They've come from our brilliant supporters out in the community. So we can come up with ideas, but they tend to be, like you say, the same things that we do, the kind of walking events, the runs, the things that we know are a success. But those brilliant kind of ideas definitely come from nowhere, from out in the community. We've got some great supporters here. We had a poetry and song night last night. We've got an art exhibition tomorrow that we're invited to. We've got a few nice things coming up over Christmas.
If somebody wanted to contact you, maybe there's someone listening right now and thinking, do you know, I could do with some support. Yeah. Or maybe there's a parent listening who's concerned about, you know, their child.
Yeah.
What's the best way of getting in touch with you?
So it's as simple as pick up the phone, dial 01260 290000. You'll get through to our initial contact team, which is Fleur, Beverly and Jane, three lovely ladies. They've kind of spoke with lots and lots of families over the years, so they'll be able to support you with whatever your issue is. Don't be scared. We know that picking up that phone and making that call is the bravest, hardest part of your journey. And from then on, you're not alone with it. We'll be here as an organisation to support you. If we can't support you, we're not going to put down the phone without finding you that support. So, please pick up the phone and we can give you advice and guide you.
And on the other side of things, is there anyone who wants to come up with a wacky idea or make a donation or help out in any other way? What's the best way of getting hold of you there?
So if you've got your wacky idea, contact us on our email, which is fundraising@vision.org.uk, or you can call that same number, as we mentioned before, and choose a fundraising option. Yeah, if you want to donate, head over to our website. There's a donate button on the website. So that's just www.vision, spelled V-I-S-Y-O-N. So that can always confuse people. And that was to do with our name that was set up in 1994. It's the Voluntary Initiative Supporting Young People's Ongoing Needs. So that's where the name Vision came from. So yeah, you can head over to that website and simply click the donate button. We have a Christmas fundraiser coming up as well. So we have a Christmas tree that has no lights. People want to add a light, they can do, and make a donation of their choice. So it's not a set donation. You can donate as little or as much as you like. And that will help us light up our Christmas tree. And you can leave messages. You can put photos of yourself, your family, your work colleagues, anything you want to on there as well. And that will be shared on our social media pages. So we're on Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn if you want to look for us there too.